I heard a story in a sermon. I always try to listen to sermons. I need preaching just like you need preaching. And oftentimes I preach to myself, but many times I need other people to preach to me as well. So I listen to tapes and do a lot of reading. But I heard a story in a sermon earlier this week that led to this message. I told it on Wednesday night, and I'm going to tell it again in a few moments. But I want to tell you what I want to accomplish this morning. I want to tell you what my desire is for you this morning. My desire for you this morning is the same desire that Paul wrote about in those verses when he penned this letter to the folks in Ephesus, when he says that ye may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth understanding. I want to preach on the subject this morning, does anybody love me? Does anybody love me? Here's a story that inspired this message. A pastor was talking to a missionary that had been to Romania at the time that the Communist Party was falling and the country was open to missionaries. And he had gone to an orphanage where there were literally hundreds of children that had been abandoned by their parents and left for somebody else to take care of. At that orphanage, he went into a little room, not probably much bigger than our nursery, maybe a little bit bigger than that, where he said there were scores of babies, scores of newborn babies, in cribs, stacked on the floor, just lying all over the place. And he walked into that room expecting to hear the kind of noise that you would hear if you walked into our nursery this morning. Babies crying and babies making baby noises like they can only, like only babies can make. But he said he walked into the room and it was deathly silent. He walked around and looked into the faces of the babies that were there and said there was a hollow, vacant stare on all their faces. And so he went to the person in charge, the nurse that was in charge, and he said, "Ma'am, what's the matter with all these babies?" And she said, "They're dying." And he said, "What are they dying of?" She said, "They're dying because of lack of love." He said, "Well, there must be something else wrong with them. I mean, do they have some kind of disease? And they look like they're dying. I mean, but what's wrong with them? What disease do they have?" And the nurse said, "Mister, they're suffering from the disease of neglect. We don't have enough people to come in and pick them up, hold them, kiss them, hug them, stroke them, talk to them. They're dying of neglect. And if those babies could speak, they would ask the question, does anybody love me?" Sad story. But here's a sadder story. There are people all around us today, and there are people probably in this auditorium that's asking the same question. Does anybody love me? You see, every single person in the world has two great needs. They have, first of all, a need to be loved. Somebody to just love them. Somebody to care for them. Somebody to think that they're special. Maybe it's the husband or wife that because of the pressures of life and all the things they have to do just to live, you haven't got to spend very much time together. And maybe one of them is asking the question, does anybody love me? Maybe it's the little child where both parents have to work to make ends meet and they spend a lot of time by themselves and they could ask that question, does anybody love me? Maybe it's the widow or the widower who's lost their spouse and they spend a lot of time by themselves and sometimes they ask the question, does anybody love me? Maybe it's the teenager who's messed up their life, who's disappointed mom and dad and disappointed themselves. Sometimes they ask the question, does anybody love me? Maybe it's the dad or the mom or the grandparent whose children or grandchildren don't come around as often as they used to. And they fight bouts of depression and on occasion ask the question, does anybody love me? It's a question that's going on all around us. People maybe sitting next to you. People sitting a row in front or behind you. Maybe your next door neighbor. Maybe the person you deal with at the grocery store. They're asking the question, does anybody love me? And it's really a three-part question. It's a question that says, does anybody love me just the way I am. Not for what I once was, not for what I might be one day, but just for what I am now, for what I am today, with all my faults, with all my frailties, with all my quirks. Does anybody love me just the way I am today? Again, not for what I once was, not for what I could be someday, but does anybody care for me? Does anybody think I'm special just the way I am today? I got some good news for you. God does. God does. He loves you just the way you are today. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the same story is told three times about a leper that comes to Jesus, one who has open running sores all over his body, one who may be missing some fingers or some toes, one who is an outcast of society, one who, because of that disease, is separated from all that he holds dear. He comes to Jesus. He doesn't ask a question. He makes a statement. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And here's what he was saying. Jesus, do you love me the way I am? I'm not much to look at. I got this terrible, incurable disease that separates me from everything that I love. But Jesus, do you love me the way I am? Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And I love what Jesus says. He says, "I will, be thou clean." What he was saying is, "Yes, sir, I love you just like you are. I love you in spite of your leprosy. I love you in spite of the disease that you have. I love you just like you are." And I want to tell you something. God hadn't changed. The same Jesus that spoke to the leper that day speaks to each one of us, and he says, "I love you just the way you are. Yes, I want you to grow. Yes, I want you to improve your life where you can. I want you to be better, but my love is not dependent on you doing that. I love you just the way you are today." That's what that song says. Yes, Jesus loves me just like I am today. The Bible tells me so. There's a second part of that question. Question, does anybody love me? It goes like this. Does anybody love me for what I have to offer? I don't have much compared to others. I'm not as smart. I'm not as talented. I don't have much money. Don't have much education. Can't sing. Can't play an instrument. I can't offer much. But does anybody love me, not only for what I am today, but for what I have to offer? I got some good news for you. God does. God does. The greatest compliment, one of the greatest compliments that Jesus ever paid, was to a widow lady. He was sitting there in the temple watching as everybody came and put their offering in. She sort of snuck in through the back door and didn't make a big show of it like other people were. Cast two little coins, two little mites, the Bible says, not even worth a penny. And Jesus said, "This woman has given more than anybody else has today because she's given all that she had." I think about that story in John chapter 6 where 5,000 men plus ladies and children had gathered to hear Jesus teach. And Jesus taught, and he asked his disciples, "Hey guys, where are we going to get food to feed all these people?" And the disciples thought he was crazy. They said, "Master, even if we prepared, we don't have enough money to buy food for these thousands of people. You're crazy for even asking the question." That's not in the, you got to really study the Greek to get that. But that's what, sort of what they said. We couldn't feed all these people. And there was a little boy that heard Jesus talking to his disciples. He comes up to Andrew. He says, "Hey, mister, I got a lunch. I'll give it to Jesus. He can use that to feed the crowd." And again, it's not in the Bible. I'm just sort of filling in the blanks of what I surmise what happened. I think Andrew sort of laughed and said, "Hey, son, thank you for the offer, but that lunch is not even big enough for you, let alone this crowd." And I think the little boy persisted. And he said, "No, mister, I really want to give it to Jesus." And so Andrew, I think, reluctantly brings it to Jesus and said, Master, we have a little lunch here. 2 little fish and 5 little loaves. And this is why I think he laughed, because he said, but what is that among so many? And I think there was a little boy standing down at Jesus' feet holding his lunch. Jesus looked down at him, and that little boy looked up at Jesus and he said, I don't have much to offer. I don't have as much money as other people in the crowd. Do you love me for what I have to offer? And Jesus looked down with eyes of love. He took that lunch and worked one of the greatest miracles in the Bible when he fed not only those 5,000 men, but every woman and every child that was there, all they could eat, and took up 12 baskets of leftovers. I don't care what you have to offer today. I don't care if it's just 2 mites. God loves you just the way you are and what for what you have to offer. And then the third part of that question is this. Does anybody love me even though I don't deserve it? Even though I don't deserve it. See, there are people that have made mistakes. They've messed up. Perhaps they've broken their wedding vows. Perhaps they've disappointed dad and mom. Perhaps they've done things that they're ashamed, not only of themselves, but they would be ashamed for anybody else to know what's happened in their life. And they're asking the question this morning, does anybody love me even when I don't deserve it? I got some good news for you. God does. God does. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Messed up. God only gave him one command, one thou shalt not. And he broke it. He ate the fruit that God told him not to eat. And about the time of day that God came and visited with the man and the woman, Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden. Something I never thought about until I was preparing for this message. They hid themselves, I think, where it was far enough from God so they could run, but close enough so that they could hear God's voice. And God came into the garden at the accustomed time, and he cried out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam says, I'm hiding. And God says, why are you hiding, Adam? Have you eaten the fruit that I told you not to? And Adam, and I'll make the story a lot shorter than it is. Adam says, yes, I did, Lord. I disappointed you. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm the only man you ever made. You only gave me one rule, and I broke that rule. God, do you still love me, even though I don't deserve it? And God said, yes, sir. There's going to be a price to pay. There's going to be a penalty to pay. But come on, Adam. Come on out of hiding. We'll make it right. And I don't care what your story is this morning. I don't care if there's things that have happened in your life that nobody but you knows about. It doesn't matter. There's somebody that loves you even when you don't deserve it. And I'm glad that we have a God that didn't wait till we turned over a new leaf. I'm glad that we have a God that doesn't wait till we get our act together. I'm glad that we have a God that doesn't wait till we deserve it. The Bible says, when we were yet sinners, God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and he sent Jesus to die for us. Not when we deserved it. Not when we were lily white in our innocence, but when we were as black as sin could make us, God sent Jesus to die for us. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior. You might be asking the question, does anybody love me just like I am? Does anybody love me for the little bit that I have to offer? More importantly, Does anybody love me even though I don't deserve it? And the answer rings from heaven with a resounding yes, yes, yes. There's a God in heaven that loves you just like you are. There's a God in heaven that loves you regardless of what you have to bring. There's a God in heaven that loves you even though none of us deserve it. He loves you. And if we could just, like Paul says, catch a hold of the width and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God, it would overwhelm every one of us. D.L. Moody, great preacher in Chicago 100 years ago, he said this. He said, if people really understood that God loved them, they wouldn't run from him. Most people have a picture of God, of a fiery judge that's ready to hand out judgment on sin. And he is a judge, and he'll judge our sins. But he's also a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of love, that loves every single person, every single individual in this room with a love that I can only start to describe this morning. He loves you. Now, I said that every single person has two great needs. There's the need to love. And then secondly, there's the need to love. To love. To love somebody else. And I'm not talking about the kind of love that the people in Hollywood try to portray on TV. I'm not talking about the shallow kind of love that the world offers up. I'm talking about the God kind of love. I'm talking about the Calvary kind of love. A love that says to other people, I love you just the way you are. I love you for what you have to offer. I love you even though sometimes you don't deserve it. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And so I say to all of us this morning, let's quit the fussing. Let's quit the finger pointing. Let's quit the blame game and the embarrassment game and the one-upsmanship. Let's quit requiring each other to come up to some certain set of standards before we love each other. Hey, husbands, quit withholding your love from your wife because she hasn't come up to your standard yet. She's not everything that mama used to be yet. And wives, quit trying to change your husband. Are you saying this morning, preacher, that we shouldn't try to get better? No, I think you ought to be the best husband you can be. I think you ought to be the best wife that you can be. What I'm saying this morning is, don't withhold your love from one another if they don't measure up to your standards. I'll say the same thing to parents. Don't stop loving your kids. Are they going to disappoint you? Sometimes. Sometimes severely. Sometimes they'll get into things that if you could, you just grab them and pull them back and lock them. Like I've told you before, if they were teenagers, you'd put them in a box with the hole at the end of it. And then when they got 19, you'd stuff up the hole. But don't ever quit loving them. Don't ever say, I'll love you if you obey. I'm for tough love. I'm for corporal punishment, and I'm for holding children accountable. But I want to tell you this morning, don't ever quit loving them. Don't ever quit love. I want to say to children this morning, don't ever quit loving mom and dad. Yeah, they may not measure up to what you think you got to have in a mom and dad. They may disappoint you. They may do things that you don't understand. And I feel so sorry for all the children that have to go back and forth between split homes. I want to say to the children, don't quit loving your mom and dad. Love them just like they are. Love them when they don't deserve it. And I want to say the same thing to us as a church family. We need to love one another with this kind of love. I'm not saying that we shouldn't grow as people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't get better. We should. I mean, we ought to keep pressing on to that higher ground. We ought to be getting better. But I want to tell you something. I love you all just the way you are. Are there things that I would change about some of you? Sure. If I had a magic wand. But I'm not God. I want to try to love you just the way you are. I want to love you just regardless of what you have to offer. I don't care if you're the song leader or the piano player or just somebody that comes and sits on the back row on Sunday morning. I want to love you. I want to love you when you don't deserve it sometimes. That's how I want to love you. That's how I want you to love me. That's how I want you to love one another. I want us to have that Calvary kind of love that says, just like you are, with whatever you have to bring, even those times when you don't deserve it, I love you. And we love each other because that's the way that God loved us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Wonderful reminder from your word. And I know we barely scratched the surface this morning. I know it's a subject that I can never do justice to. But if even just a little bit this morning, we've got a picture of the breadth and the width and the depth and the height of how much you love us and the kind of love that you have for us, then the last few minutes haven't been wasted. I pray, Father, for all those that are in this room this morning that are asking the question, does anybody love me? Help them to see a God in heaven that does. And then I pray, Father, help them to see a person sitting next to them, a person in front of them, a person on the next aisle over that loves them with the same kind of love that you do. Father, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never experienced the love of Jesus firsthand, they'd have to say that if they're honest with themselves and with you, that they are a sinner because they don't measure up to Jesus. Father, would you help them understand this morning that there's a penalty for that sin? That penalty is separation from you forever. But that when Christ went to Calvary, he paid that price. And if they'd simply come this morning and received the gift of salvation that he has, they could know what it is to be saved. They could know what it is to have their sins forgiven. They could know what it is to have a home in heaven. Father, bless the invitation. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, help them to be the first one down the aisle. If there's others that need to come for other reasons, I pray, Father, you'd help them come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.